Welcome back to Good Food. LA's new mandatory composting law has us all scrutinizing our food waste a little more closely. Yes, we are what we eat, but like it or not, we also see ourselves in what we waste. Balo Orozco learned this long ago. Working in restaurants and catering jobs, he saw a lot of food land in the bin. And as he became closer with farmers, he realized that they had pounds, sometimes tons, of produce that was too ugly or too ripe to make it to market. With his line of Sunset Cultures kombucha and pantry products, Balo is trying to save the fruit, pay the farmer, and give us something delicious too. Hi.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us. Before you were fermenting gallons of kombucha, you were cooking. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and where you learned to cook.
I'm from Mexico. I grew up in Guadalajara, Jalisco, and I lived there until when I was 19. I went to culinary school there, and I was working in sushi restaurants and a couple sushi restaurants and in an Italian restaurant. Then from there, I moved to the Caribbean in Tulum. So I was working at Heartwood, running this place for about 5 years.
I mean, why don't you describe Heartwood so people get an idea?
Yeah, so Heartwood was the first year and a half that I was working there. Actually, they had only 6 months open when I started working there. So we were like fishing for the restaurant. It was really fun and beautiful and inspiring. It's something that I really never did before, you know. So that was super special. And as the restaurant gets bigger, you know, like we start getting fish from fishermen and always like that, like pretty sustainable practices. I love that place because we never use gas, barely electricity for like a small, tiny freezer that we had run by a solar panel. And so everything was fire. Everything, we always cook everything on a grill or in the oven. So that was a lot of fun.
And then here in the States, you were with Gabriela Camara Cala in San Francisco, and you were the opening chef at Onda in Santa Monica in 2019. What was your aha moment for Sunset Cultures?
You know, so I always worked in restaurants, and I'm lucky to work with people that like some people in restaurants that always care about like the waste. So when we were working at this restaurant, it was kind of like a fun thing for us as the chefs because it was like a set menu. So it was like a fun thing for us to do that, like we'll just call the butcher and say like, hey, what do you have the most? What's what you're not selling? So it's always like pig's head or trotters or something. So it was like a lot of fun to do something with it. That was like very inspiring. Also like every time we will come from the farmer's market, and, you know, there's like not a lot of space in the walk-in restaurants. So like you have to like, you get like 50 pounds of cauliflower, you have to remove the bottom. So we start getting a lot. So then we start making kimchi out of it. So we start making a lot of pickles and preserves and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. As I'm getting closer to farmers, like now, like closer relationships with them, I start visiting their farm. When we closed Onda, that's when we realized that there was like more than what we imagined, the amount of waste of food that there is out there. Like you see when the farmer has a crate down there in the stand, kind of like a few pounds that they're like throwing away. But like that's just what made it there. Like there's a lot more. And not necessarily that it's bad for seconds or something. It's just like sometimes a good season for produce doesn't mean that they're going to sell it all. For example, Steve Murray from Murray Farm, he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to have a lot of budasin extra. There's a lot in trees and I know I'm not going to sell it. So I'm not really buying like seconds. I'm trying to buy little by little instead of just getting 1,000 or 2,000 pounds at once. And ideally, I use this for the whole year.
Wow. So your flavors are notably amazing. They're not your run-of-the-mill kombucha flavors. For example, you have strawberry fennel flower, mandarin carrot, grapefruit and rice. But this process that you have of sourcing is so interesting. When a farmer calls you and says, hey, I have a ton of persimmons, or in this case, Buddha's hand, once you have it, how do you start prepping it in a way to minimize the waste you create and get the fruit ready for the preparations you're going to use it for?
For the Buddha's hand, what we do is we slice it very thin. We mix it with sugar, kind of like one-to-one sugar than the weight of the Buddha's hand, and start leaking all the flavor. Right, you start extracting all the flavors. It's called olio. So about 2 days later, you don't see more sugar. You just see liquid. So it's all this flavor that is, the sugar has been extracting from the Buddha's hand. We like to ferment this part a little bit, maybe for like about a week. Then we portion it, we freeze it, and then we use it as we need.
Your flavors are so unusual and they work so well. You know, I've had unusual flavor combinations and products before, and they kind of remind me of eating potpourri or some sort of weird bath aromatherapy. But yours are always so delicious. How do you conceive of them? Like grapefruit and rice, for example.
With grapefruit and rice, we, during the pandemic, we were listening to Ototo had this like sake school. And I remember, I think it was every Tuesday, just for like an hour. And we were listening to Courtney just talking about how people use the rice to make this delicious drink. And we were like, okay, maybe we can make something with rice. We know Robin from Coda Farm. So we started getting her rice. We try a few times until I feel like we nail it. And the grapefruit flavor came out because when you make koji, a lot of the flavor that you get is like fruity, citrus. To me, it's like a lot of grapefruit. So we just say like, oh, let's try grapefruit. And it was delicious. We also made it with a chirimoya and cardamom that was insane, delicious, super expensive, but it was great.
Does the mother itself take on flavor? Like if you were to share a piece of your strawberry fennel flower mother with me, would my kombucha taste like strawberry and fennel flowers?
Oh, yes. You even might see a lot of like fennel flowers on the mother.
Wow.
And it carries flavor. So actually, we have like 2 to 3 Kobes per flavor because we stagger the batches. So we don't mix the Kobes for other flavors, really.
So you have like an archive of flavored Kobes.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. That's so amazing. Well, it's been so much fun talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you so much.
That was Balo Orozco. We've been talking about the innovative kombuchas and pantry products he makes under the name Sunset Cultures. We've got a link on our website. That's kcrw.com/goodfood.